This morning's lesson is the second in a series on the last words of Jesus from the cross. Last week we dealt with Jesus saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." This week we deal with Jesus' response to the thief on the cross who said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus says to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." This is a sentence that is only found in Luke's gospel, and I know of people who think this passage is so important that Luke is their favorite for this one verse, that there is such forgiveness there, there's such a chance for a second chance, that they think this is the most important verse that they can encounter. Sin and death, in other words, are not the last word. Now, I get a lot of emails. I signed up one time, and I don't know how I did it. Be careful when you are signing up for things online, because if you give people your email address, you will get spam for the rest of your life. So I signed up for a travel website. I wanted to find out different places to go. And they sent me all this great stuff about places I could go and hotels that were cheap. And now I get things regularly from like Timbuktu and places that you'd never even think of going, and what hotel you would want to stay at in Cairo, Egypt, and all that kind of stuff. And I used to pay a lot of attention to them, but they send me two or three a week, and now it's just noise. I just immediately throw it away in the email trash bin. And I have a friend who went to the UK, and she decided that she was going to go across the UK, and she did absolutely no computer research. She got a train ticket, a couple changes of clothes, and she decided to stay in youth hostels, which are very inexpensive. They're just a bare bones type of thing. You can usually get breakfast there for maybe $20 a night. And she had a ball, and she didn't research a thing about where she was going. She had a great time. And I contrast in my mind the sales pitch, where I am just awash in information that I'm never going to use. I'm awash in information, and my friend, who just went where the wind and the money and wherever she wanted to go on her fancy. And it's an important image, I think, because the road of our life is very much like this. We can either be buffeted around by the expectations of other people around us. Remember, there was one thief on the cross who was mocking Jesus. He was mocking Jesus, and he joined in the refrain and says to Jesus, "You've saved people, why don't you save us?" And the other thief on the cross goes where the leading of the Holy Spirit takes us. More spontaneous, joins the repentant thief on the cross spontaneously. And he says, "Jesus, have mercy on me. Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And how does Jesus reply? He doesn't reply with a lecture on sin, not with a list of options, not with 100 different things to do. It's not the time for a lecture or shaming, but Jesus says, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Prophets, preachers, teachers, for hundreds of years before Jesus was ever born, talked to people about paradise and what paradise meant. The prophet Isaiah, in his vision of heaven, written 600 years before Jesus preached about heaven. Prophet Isaiah wrote this: "The wolf shall lie down with the lamb, the leopard and shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea." That's Isaiah chapter 11, prophesying what paradise will be like, what heaven will be like. The prophet Joel, in chapter 2, verse 32, reminds us that on the day of the Lord, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And Jesus, when Jesus imagines heaven, he imagines this great kingdom, but it's a kingdom that we're not familiar with from fairy stories or tales we tell our children. But instead, in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, the kingdom is going to include those who are poor in spirit, because they will inherit the kingdom of heaven. Those who mourn will be blessed, for they will be comforted. The meek will be blessed, for they will inherit the earth. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. The merciful will be shown mercy. The pure in heart will see God. In these passages, we're reminded that paradise is made up of people like the thief on the cross, the repentant thief on the cross. It's made up of children and those who mourn and those who are sad. It's made up of the people who are pure in heart, poor in spirit. We see heaven most clearly not by analyzing the bottom line, nor by sermons by a preacher, nor by political posturing, but through the dreams and visions of the weakest among us, of the children, of the most vulnerable, of the already condemned. It's remarkable to me that some people who love this verse from Luke's gospel, "Today you will be with me in paradise," it's remarkable to me that that's their favorite verse in all of Scripture, and we don't even know that man's name. We don't even know the thief's name. It's lost to history. We'll never know it. Yet he is with Jesus in paradise. This nameless thief, repenting on the cross, is with Jesus in paradise. In Jesus Christ on the cross, there is talk about new life and new birth and fulfillment, all the talk that we've had in baptism. "Today you will be with me in paradise." That's what Jesus says. I wonder and imagine about Mother Teresa, who lived among the poor so that she could be with people and show them paradise. She didn't lecture to the poor about how they could get out of poverty. She didn't teach classes about the poor. Instead, she lived with the poor. She lived in similar situations to which they were living. She lived in poverty with them, side by side. I think that might be a little taste of what it means, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And there are dreamers around the world that know that the kingdom of God is made up of people that we don't expect. After World War II, German prisoners of war, some of them were taken to Scotland, to where there was a POW prison after the war had ended. And they were there to be reintegrated into German society, to take away all the Nazi propaganda and all that sort of thing. And do you know who took care of many of those prisoners, those German prisoners of war? Who took care of them? It was the Scottish countryside people. It was the people in Scotland who lived there. They went to the prisons and brought them food and brought them Bibles and brought them Presbyterian songbooks, because Scotland is predominantly Presbyterian. There are story after story after story, many stories, where people converted, where Germans converted to Christianity. It's the first time they'd ever heard the gospel because they were in a prisoner of war camp somewhere up in rural Scotland, and the villagers, the miners, took care of them and their families. The question in my mind that Luke 23 raises is, who is the bigger dreamer? Jesus, who dreams this wonderful paradise where all of us, when we have been struck down by life, when we have felt poor in spirit, when we have felt meek and not listened to, when we have felt just wrung out by life? Is Jesus the bigger dreamer because he paints this irresistible picture of paradise? Or maybe is the thief on the cross the bigger dreamer? Because he dares, imagine this, he dares to imagine that forgiveness is even possible. He dares to imagine that Jesus might have some crumb to throw at him, even on the cross. That's a remarkable dream, isn't it? To say, "You know, my life has been a wreck up to this point, but Jesus, if you can rescue me now, will you do it?" That's exactly what happens. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is given for us to dream dreams, that there are a long line of dreamers and imaginers in the Bible, Joseph and Daniel, Isaiah and Jesus. And to get close to God, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." It's very simple and not complex. The thief didn't have to do a whole lot. He just had to speak a few words. My friends, imagining this possibility, imagining the kingdom of God encompassing us, encompassing the thief on the cross or German POW prisoners, takes a leap of faith. The thief could have been rejected by Christ. He didn't know when he asked to be remembered. Yet he took that chance. He reached out and grasped for Jesus' hand. And Jesus says, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." Amen.